It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. This morning we'll learn about legislation making its way through the Capitol that would give felons a chance to expunge their records.
They just want normal lives, I think. They want to be able to get to work in their field. Some of them have gone back to school and gotten degrees and are working in fields where they can't get licensure because of the mistake that they made sometimes, 10, 20 years ago.
That's coming up on this West Virginia morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. On last night's episode of The Legislature Today, host Suzanne Higgins spoke with two delegates, both members of Governor Jim Justice's Blue Ribbon Commission on Higher Education. In December of 2018, the commission was to report a recommendation on a funding formula for the state's four-year colleges and universities. Here's an excerpt from that interview.
The task is probably extremely politically charged. We've got advocates for this school, advocates for that school. You're trying to get together. What is fair? Delegate Espinoza, why have there been such delays in agreeing on a funding formula?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think legislators are going to advocate for what's in the best interest of their regional institutions. But I am pleased that the Blue Ribbon Commission initially took a look at the Marshall Plan that was put forth by Dr. Gilbert from Marshall. They ultimately adopted what was known as the Recalibration Plan. And again, it was a $10 million plan dealing with our four-year institutions to, again, just try to close the gap between per capita funding. There's currently about a $4,000 differential between the lowest funded institution on a per capita basis and the highest. I think the recalibration plan that was adopted by the Blue Ribbon Commission closes the gap considerably between the lowest and highest funded. You mentioned the $15 million figure. In addition to adopting fairly closely the recalibration plan for our four-year institutions, House Finance in our budget, we did include roughly $5 million to take a similar approach for our two-year institutions, because again, about a $4,000 per student gap between the lowest funded two-year institution and our highest institution, so we've taken a similar approach there.
Delegate Boggs, Delegate Espinoza talked the per capita funding view. You've said, and I want you to elaborate on that a little bit, you've said that there are other things that must be considered.
Well, I think you have to look at many things. I think the formula that was developed didn't necessarily take into account the number of Promise Scholars, the number of higher out-of-state students, the first-time students, and I think that's very important. When we're in a state that has the lowest college-going rate and the lowest graduation rate to receive degrees, I think we need to be very, very careful, and sometimes it may cost a smaller, more rural institution, it may not cost the same amount to do a program or offer the services than it would maybe if you had better economies of scale. But I think the one thing that we have to remember, there's many places in the state that if a college or university would go away, there's a very good possibility that many of the students that it serves will not necessarily they'll go somewhere else. There may be many that will be deprived of the opportunity and not go at all.
That was Delegate Brent Boggs and Delegate Paul Espinoza speaking with Suzanne Higgins on The Legislature Today. Visit our website at wvpublic.org to hear the entire interview. West Virginia is one of several states with a so-called second chance law. It allows people with a felony criminal record to appeal to a judge to reduce their charge to a misdemeanor. The goal? To help them find work. There's a new version of the bill in the legislature this session. If it passes, it could wipe out someone's criminal record entirely. West Virginia Public Broadcasting's podcast, Us and Them, looks at the debate over the issue, and host Trey Kay introduces us to Amber Miller. After a felony conviction more than 10 years ago, she completed the program as a medical assistant. After she graduated, Amber applied for internship after internship. But no matter where she applied, her felony record was a scarlet letter that made it tough for her to get work. That's until Amber saw an opinion piece in the local newspaper. Its author, Mike Pushkin, a Democrat who was elected in 2014 to his first term in the West Virginia House of Delegates. Pushkin wrote about a convicted felon in Charleston, West Virginia, he thought deserved a second chance.
I don't really recall how I got in touch with him, but I did. And I told him, I said, I'm your poster child for this second chance.
He said just that?
Yeah. I said, what do I need to do?
Wait, you said, I'm your poster child?
Yeah. What do I need to do to get this bill passed?
And did he respond?
Absolutely, he responded. And it went from there.
When Mike Pushkin was elected to the House of Delegates in 2014, that was the year that the state legislature flipped from Democratic to Republican. Pushkin had defied that trend, but he's an unusual politician.
Okay. Same in my car.
Yeah. During the session, paperwork kind of piles up in the back seat. We get a lot of handouts.
You see, Mike's a lawmaker who's also a musician and drives a taxi in Charleston. I grew up with Mike and his family. Went to school with his older brother, was good friends with his older sister. I'd lost track of Mike over the years. But in the mid-90s, I heard he was fronting several bands throughout the state, was into drugs and alcohol, and in trouble with the law. In 2004, he got sober and says he's been in recovery ever since. As a cab driver for more than a dozen years, Mike has seen a lot. He's even had a gun pointed at his head.
Yeah, I'd say it gives me a different perspective being a cab driver. I deal with people from all walks of life.
So how would you describe the way you were back then? Would you say, you know, were you kind of wild and woolly? And
yeah, I'd say that's an understatement. I did not live the type of life of somebody who was grooming themselves for a career in politics. That is for certain. And that's also really shaped a lot of my attitudes towards criminal justice reform.
What does each side want? People like Amber Miller. Mm-hmm. And what are the people who would oppose this legislation? What do they want?
I think what the people who could benefit from this, that they just want normal lives, I think. They want to be able to get to work in their field. Some of them have gone back to school and gotten degrees and are working in fields where they can't get licensure because of the mistake that they made sometimes, you know, 10, 20 years ago. So I think they just want normalcy. People who are against it, I think it's mainly coming from a business standpoint, where they want full disclosure. They want to know everything about somebody who they're possibly employing. And I can understand that. I really can. I think you have to be able to understand an opponent's viewpoint in order to get anything done. So I can understand that. But I also think that we should be able to forgive people and give them clean starts if you know, they do all the necessary things leading up to that, if they earn it.
Mike Pushkin's Second Chance for Employment Act passed the Senate in 2016, but it never made it onto the committee agenda in the House. One of the sticking points had to do with a legal concept, expungement. That's when criminal charges are removed from a person's record permanently. Republican legislators didn't want a second chance law to seal someone's criminal past.
Well, in between the 2016 session and the 2017 session, I had set up a series of meetings with House Speaker Tim Armstead, and I set up meetings with where Amber Miller came with me, and I believe that was helpful to really put a face on. A real person who this could help. And so, look, she's not a bad person. She made a mistake when she was 20 years old. Give her a second chance. And so we met with Speaker Armstead. I met with him several times and met with his chief of staff. And really trying to work out some sort of compromise, because that's what legislation is all about. He said that the people that he was hearing from, and this is the business community, he said people deserve to know who they're hiring. His problem was with the disclosure aspect of it. He didn't want people's records to disappear. He felt that people should be able to you know, be able to do background checks and to be able to know exactly the criminal history of a prospective employee. I called a friend of mine who was a very good criminal defense attorney up in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And I said, well, here's the deal. The speaker believes that the employer should be able to find out if somebody has a criminal history. And he said, well, that's not expungement. And I said, I realize that. I said, well, he said, if I could get a client and a reduction to a misdemeanor, I'd be happy. So that's where the, you know, the light bulb went off. And I went back to the speaker. And I said, what if we just reduced it to a misdemeanor?
Second chance laws have been gaining popularity across the country. However, some people are still hesitant to support this type of legislation. Despite that, West Virginia lawmakers are discussing the new version of the state's second chance legislation to seal a person's criminal record. Eric Tarr is against the measure. Tarr is a Republican, a freshman senator in West Virginia's legislature. He's also an entrepreneur who employs almost 200 people.
I have a little over 20 different businesses, and they're in several different industries. I'm a physical therapist by trade, so I'm also in construction, heating, cooling, marketing, storage, real estate.
In some ways, the senator is a serial entrepreneur. He wants to help felons find work, but in fact, Tarr voted against West Virginia's initial second chance law. He says removing a felony from someone's record opens employers up to a whole slew of liability issues.
If I have two people equally qualified, two people that I like equally for the position, with this expungement record, then one of those could be one of these expunged felons. If they have a history of drug abuse, which is very likely in this case, they have a 60% chance of relapse. And so if that person then relapses while they're under my employ, I put them in a vehicle for my company, and they cross left of center, and they take out a family. That's the risk that I took with that person unknowingly that I may not have been exposed to with the person who didn't have that chance of relapse because they never had this criminal past or history of the addiction. So that creates a lot of downstream cost and across industry cost in West Virginia.
While second chance laws have gained momentum, there are also concerns that the ban the box movement may negatively affect blacks and Latinos. The worry is that potential employers may discriminate against all minority applicants, something that's illegal, if they have no way to identify those with a criminal background. We didn't mention it earlier, but both Amber Miller and Mike Pushkin are white. I asked Pushkin if he thought anything would be different for an African-American looking for a second chance. He said he hopes everyone will get the same treatment under the law, but he knows that is not always the case.
The state's existing second chance law has already helped Amber Miller. At a hearing earlier this year, a judge reduced her felony charge to a misdemeanor. We've been listening to an excerpt of the Us and Them episode called Scarlet Letters and Second Chances. To hear the entire episode, download the Us and Them podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or listen online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day at our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.